Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Newell Norman and me, Tommy Tucker, in the backfield until 10 o'clock as our coverage continues of this once-in-a-lifetime snow event. The Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry joins us now, our friend Mike Strain. How you doing, Commissioner?
Man, I tell you what, there's some frost on the pumpkin out there. It is absolutely chilly.
Mike, Newell Norman and I, and you're on with Newell, and I were talking. You, my friend, love life. I wish that I could have the what is it, joie de vivre? Is that what they say in French?
Yeah, joie de vivre. The joy of life.
The joy of life that you have, because I was watching, Mike sent me a video of him and Hootie, and tell people that don't normally listen in the morning, Mike, and I don't know if Newell knows who Hootie is.
Hootie is a basset hound, little female basset hound. I've had her, I guess, about 8 months. And she's the happiest little basset hound in the world. So, and of course, you know, she is a absolute lap dog. She's out there in the snow, running, playing, eating snow, you know, playing with the ball. You know, Hootie loves life too. But again, she's been a, you know, since I lost, you know, my Rottweiler Rudy, and then now we have Hootie, and Hootie is a, how you say, you talk about a free spirit with long ears, right?
Yeah. But I was watching Hootie play in the snow. Hootie needs longer legs because that belly was getting pretty full of snow.
Yeah.
Huh?
Hootie at first didn't know what it was. She went to go put her paw in. You know, this is, I don't know about this stuff, you know. So, but she enjoys it. I've seen livestock. I've seen cattle when it snowed that never seen it before. They're looking up. Then they try to eat it. First they want to run from it. Then they try to eat it. Then they say, okay, all right, we got it now. So it's a, you know, animals do amazing things.
Well, it's a little bit like what's going on with some of the folks down here in New Orleans that never seen it before.
I did it on Porter Street today. I opened my mouth and ate some of it. It was flew in my mouth.
I saw somebody, they were skiing, you know, through the French Quarter. I think they need to go down to Audubon Park, get up on Monkey Hill and see if they can come down that.
Yeah, do some slaloming. Tell me about
that's right.
This weather and some of the things that your department has because Mike, they got a lot of things with the Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Newell and I were talking about that before we came on the air, or off air, we were talking about it. That, man, there's a lot under your administration. I don't think people realize. And tell me about some of the preparations that y'all had to go through to get ready for this thing.
So, working with the governor's office, first of all, in GOSEP, our responsibility to make sure that all emergency fuel needs are met. And so the governor, they brought in a number of snowplow teams, I think 14, from Arkansas. And so to make sure that DOTD, the snowplow teams, any emergency managers have fuel. So what we've done, we've opened up our fuel depots, and we have a large depot in Hammond, one in Baton Rouge, one in the central part of state Woodworth, another in Hart, Louisiana, another in Monroe. Do that, and then we sent fuel trailers, so these are self-contained units, one to Lafayette and the others on standby. If the power fails and fuel isn't available like at truck stops, then it is my responsibility to make sure every emergency need is met by the government and emergency responders. And we do that in every storm. I'm responsible for government and emergency fuel. So that's one factor. And also, if there are shelters set up with pets, then we have to make sure that those pets are accommodated, you know, with their owners. And so whether it is providing just the necessities such as cages and food, but also we have veterinarians and we have volunteer veterinarians. And again, that's through LSART, Louisiana State Animal Response Team. Then dealing with any livestock issues that may crop up, whatever the issues are, we deal with that. And, of course, with timber, if there's any fires, which we should not have right now, but in the aftermath, we may see that. So right now, we're predominantly responsible for that. And then, you know, talking to our farmers, finding out where they're at, what they're doing with their crops, and then anything we can do to help stand them back up. In addition to that, our emergency food services, we have food distribution centers that we distribute government commodities as well as food to food banks. And that's a big deal. A lot of the food through the food banks either monetarily or physically come through our warehouses. And so we ramp all of that up. So, you know, we are in, you know, in about probably about 60-70% fully activated. We're trying to keep as many of our personnel off the road as possible. Because, you know, when the slaughterhouses and the poultry plants open back up, they have to be inspected. But to any extent, we can keep our personnel off the road. And we have 640 personnel at the office. We keep them off the road because, again, this is the time, especially when we are not used to this and we know we don't have, you know, a lot of salt and other things. Our roads, our bridges slick over. And so safety first. And then really talking to the public about proper use of additional heat, such as heat lamps on pets and livestock and poultry, or space heaters in greenhouses or in garages or generators. We do a lot of public service announcements to try to keep everyone safe as possible. And then talking to our farmers about, you know, you got to go out and check your water troughs, you know, several times. If there's ice, you got to break it so the livestock have access to water. And so all of those sorts of things is what we're doing right now.
I always try to learn some every time we talk to you, Mike, and I'm just curious because we were talking to Todd Fontenot, LSU Ag Center area agent for crawfish production. He just happened to mention, so I was asking him how he spent his day, and he said that his cow calved, I think that's how you say it, I had a new calf or whatever it was.
Had a calf. Oh, they love the calf in this weather.
Do they
really? I was in practice when weather, oh, absolutely. You know, you better get ready for this kind of weather because cows would calf and horses would get belly aches, colic, as we say. And so these type of weather events were extremely busy. So I delivered a lot of calves, and the ones that I deliver are the ones that are in trouble.
Yeah.
And so there would be a lot of cows that would calve. And you look, it's an experience when you get out there and hand deliver a calf in this kind of weather. Because you don't do it with your shirt sleeves on.
No, I've seen pictures.
It's skin.
You're not involved in that, Mike. You're committed there, right? You're committed.
You are committed. You're there. You're there to the bitter end. And I used to deliver about 200 calves a year by hand, and one or two foals. But that's an experience too. When you're a field veterinarian, and when it's cold weather, you're out in the field for the duration.
Mike, what about bees? I know you're a big beekeeper, and Newell, did you know we send bees out to California to help the pollination?
No, I had no idea.
Absolutely, I
got that right, Mike.
It's a huge industry. You know, a lot of bees come back here to winter here, and then we'll send them to California for the almonds because almonds require bees, and then into the Midwest for sunflowers. Then they come back home. And so right now with the bees, the most important thing is to make sure they have enough food, sugar, and because I feed my bees. I use a proprietary food product made by, you know, I buy it from Man Lake, but you can buy it elsewhere. And if you don't have any, and if you're worried about your bees, if you don't have any food for them, and if you didn't leave them, you know, some honey, you know, in the hive, then you can put out sugar water. And if you don't have any sugar water feeders, you can get some hummingbird feeders, especially ones that are kind of flat on the bottom, and fill it up, you know, with sugar water and keep an eye on it. But they will feed, but they have to have energy. They really have to have energy or you will lose them in these cold snaps. And of course, it's a little bit late, but look, any bit of sugar will help them. You can use sugar water just like you prepare it, you know, for your hummingbirds. And so, but I feed mine and I use the ProMix I feed mine, and I also feed them protein and pollen patties.
Mike,
but you need to feed them.
Go ahead.
Yes, go.
No,
go ahead.
I know you're a very respected veterinarian, both large and small animals, and for people that have a pet and they want to keep it outside tonight, talk about that if you would, please.
Well, if at all possible, bring them inside, where they can warm up. If you're gonna have them out on the porch, make sure you've got some blankets out there. For whatever, and if you have your dog houses, if you don't have anything else, fill that dog house up with some hay, and they'll get in there and warm up. But they need to have shelter, especially for your dogs. Bring them in, let them warm up, because it is really, really cold, and it's going to get colder. We're talking about tomorrow night, some areas down into the teens, 13 in DeRidder, 17 in Lafayette, and when you put the wind chill down there, Lake Charles at 9, Lafayette at 9, Houma at 9, that wet, cold chill. So bring them in if at all possible. Provide blankets for them, if not. If you're going to use the heating pad, you got to be extremely careful because they can get overheated and burn on that. They make some nice ones at Walgreens that do have a kickoff mechanism, but you put it, and then you put some blankets, a blanket on top of the heating pad only, not the wires, just the heating pad. But put it, away from the, a little bit away from the house. Don't put it right next to the house. Any type of external heat you got to be careful with, but you got to have an area where they can warm up a little bit.
Mike, is something like this a hiccup when it comes to crops, or can it have a serious effect on strawberries and everything else we're getting ready to harvest here?
It can have a serious effect. We are fortunate, though, that we got snow first. Mm-hmm. The snow acts like a blanket of cover. If you've seen it covering the strawberries, and the strawberries generally have covering on them, and also for our sugar cane. Now, what's going to happen with these low temperatures, when you get down to 9 degrees, 8, 9 degrees, anything under 22, any of the sugarcane stalk above the ground is lost. And so that will probably, more than likely, have to be cut, trimmed, or bush hog. If you have snow on there, then it helps protect the plants below the ground. If you have areas with no snow cover, and if it's just ice and rain and cold, then you could actually lose the crop, the roots, below the ground. I spoke to my dear friend, Senator Brett Allon, a sugar farmer, very good friend of mine, about sugar this afternoon. And so where we're really worried about the sugar crop is going to be, north of the snow line, where we don't have snow to protect the cane and what happens below the roots. But the strawberries, we're probably going to lose the flowers. Hopefully it doesn't get cold enough and we have protection from the snow over the coverings where we don't lose the plants. And our other crops, thank goodness most of that has been harvested. So we don't have any corn or beans or rice yet to be harvested, or cotton. That's all done. Now, for looking at the rice crop, when it's real cold like this, it will tend to break down the rice plant, the leftover stubble that is now in the crawfish ponds. It'll break it down a little faster than we would like. But in a few days, when it warms up, the crawfish will be active again. We'll be catching crawfish. And what we may see is a little bit faster crop, a little bit earlier coming in with, in other words, a shorter season overall with this wind chill. But we're going to have a very good crawfish crop. We're safe, really safe for that. In livestock, we're afraid we may have lost a lot of our winter pasture. Under the snow and ice, the ryegrass, the winter crops, they don't do very, very well. So we're going to have to rely more on hay that hopefully now is in storage and feeding them. As we get especially in through the 15th to 20th of March. That's the time period that we've really got to work. So it's going to have a negative effect, again, on the cattle industry because of the loss of the winter pastures. On the poultry side, these cold weathers take a lot more energy to heat the poultry houses, and that energy in the form of gas, natural or propane, that is paid for and borne by the farmers. Mm-hmm. So it really gets into their pockets these really cold days. What we're hoping for is that we don't get a lot of ice on the power lines and have loss of power going to the poultry houses. We have more than 300 poultry farms. They all have backup generators, but then you've got to have enough diesel going to those backup generators. And the big issue would be is if the distribution centers for the fuel would go down. Then that brings us back into play where we do everything we can to get diesel to the generators on the poultry farms, so they don't lose poultry. We've done that before. So all of this is going on real time, and, you know, we will engage in every issue as it comes along.
Mike, a pleasure as always. Thank you for staying up with us tonight.
Thank you.
And go tuck Hootie in.
Well, Hootie is tucked in. And Hootie likes it by the fire. So everyone, stay warm and be very, very, very careful. If you don't need to be on that highway, don't get out on that highway.
No,
again, because it's now we're getting into ice, and there's already a lot of accidents. So please, safety first, and be careful with those space heaters. Fires from space heaters. Be very careful with space heaters, everyone.
Thank you, Mike Strang, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forest. When we come back, we're going to talk to a lady Newell I met on Poydras Street today. They're from Chicago. Flight got delayed, and I was comparing the Chicago snow to this, and they were laughing at me. Then they went down to the French Quarter, so we'll get their take when we come back, Sue, when we return, as our snow coverage continues here on WWL. And we'll talk to Nick Hunter, mayor of Lake Charles. They had a blizzard warning today. And then we'll wrap it up talking to Barry Keim, LSU climatologist, about snowfall and temperatures, freezing weather, and all that stuff. A lot coming up. Tommy Tucker's here with Newell Norman. Our coverage continues of this extraordinary snow event for the southern Louisiana area here on WWL. Newell Norman's here. I'm Tommy Tucker, and I was walking down Poydras Street, Newell, enjoying the snowy weather, somewhat enjoying. And I ran into Sue and her husband, who happened to be from Chicago, and their flight got delayed, and I was talking about the weather and how it was the coldest I'd ever been and compared it to Chicago cold. And they were heading to the quarter, and I asked her to call in and let me know how things were going, and she joins us right now. Hey, Sue, how you doing? You're on with me. I'm the guy you met, Tommy, and Newell Norman is here as well. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Where did y'all go tonight, and what was open?
We walked down to the French Quarter and saw people throwing snowballs in front of the cathedral. And then we went over to Bourbon Street just to kind of check it out a little bit. And then we narrowed back to Magazine Street, I believe.
That's where we were
Yeah, and then went to a little Greek diner that was open. So just not a lot of stuff open, but it was fun to see everybody enjoying the snow.
So tell me your story. You came here to visit for vacation and your flight got delayed?
We came to visit. We've been here since last Tuesday and had a great time. We even drove out to Gulf Shores and saw a friend that bought a summer home out there. And then our flight got canceled, actually. And then we rebooked it for tomorrow, and that one got canceled. Mm. So we're here till Thursday. So just trying to make all the arrangements and kind of a pain in the butt, but it's okay. It's okay because it's really cold back home.
So, Sue, this is Newell. When this strange, odd-looking guy approached you and started talking to you on the street and said that he was on radio, what were you thinking?
We just, you know, everybody
you didn't believe
really
it. You didn't believe it, but you didn't believe it. Really, honestly, did you?
I did believe it. Actually,
did you? Okay.
You sounded like you had a radio voice.
Well,
so
a radio face too.
So I don't know.
Yeah, he has a face for radio.
Yeah, you're right. No,
no, but seriously,
yeah, I don't know.
Tell me about.
You didn't seem dressed for the weather. That's what I thought.
this what? Let me tell you, this is heavy as it gets. This is the first heavy coat I've owned in my life. That you saw. Tell me about the cold here, because I was saying earlier, Newell, you've heard this, where people say, yeah, it's cold other places, but not cold like it is in New Orleans. But I wanted to get your take on that, because you live in Chicago. Y'all deal with this. Lord knows what kind.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of temperatures and snowfall and everything else. For people that say it's colder here than it is in Chicago, your thoughts would be what?
Well, first of all, we don't live in Chicago. We live north of Chicago, just south of the Wisconsin border. Seemed like a nice winter day today, except that you had no plows cleaning the street.
Yeah.
So it didn't seem bad to me at all. I mean, the wind got a little bit, it was a little brisk, but it wasn't bad. It was nice walking. I mean, this is the kind of weather I would definitely do my 3 mile walk with. So it was a little more chilly as we were walking back, but it still wasn't bad. I think it's like 17 below or something like that back home. Mm. So they closed the schools and everything back home. So that's cold. I think it's 17 below, and that's not even the wind chill.
Wow.
There's no snow.
That's not perfect trench coat weather, right?
So what should I have been wearing? I'm just curious. What would have been appropriate?
Goose down.
Like a winter coat, maybe a hat and some gloves, or, I mean, I don't know. Like, in really cold weather, I'd probably have a scarf on. But I had two pairs of gloves on, we had our gym shoes because, of course, we didn't think that we'd need our hiking boots in New Orleans.
What did y'all do while you were here? What did you enjoy doing?
Well, I saw my long lost cousin, whom I haven't seen since I was 9 years old. So that was kind of fun because she lives down here. Let's see. What did we do? We stayed over at the Plot Arms. Is that how you say it? The first few days. And that was really nice. We walked around the French Quarter and went to Bourbon Street and Frenchman Street, and we did a walking tour in the Garden District. We did the hop-on, hop-off bus, and then that was really nice. And then, you know, just kind of experienced the different food. And my husband just said he loves the food. And then we went to the World War II Museum yesterday and thought, oh, great, we'll have another day. We can go to the World War II Museum again because we didn't get to see all of it. And then everything was closed, which was shocking to us that everything shuts down.
Well, we're not used to it. Newell Norman used to be the sheriff of an adjacent parish. Y'all have counties here, but it would be similar to being the chief of police in New Orleans is what he was. You don't know that because, you know, Newell didn't tell you, as he normally tells everybody. But Newell, what would you tell these people to do tomorrow? You're a man. You're a bon vivant, a man about town.
Well, I think a lot of the restaurants are going to be open tomorrow, possibly. You know, mm-hmm. And I would do that. I mean, a lot of the stuff that you would go to see is going to be closed.
Right. But yeah. Staying in this area, give them a restaurant to go to.
I would go to Gianna or I would go to Merrill's if they're open. Just quick and easy, really nice vibe, great bar. It's right down the street from our office, actually. And if you're in the magazine area, that's a great place to go and to walk to.
So your two choices are what?
Merrill's, Gianna.
Merrill's or Gianna. How about that? Sue?
Oh, that's great. Do you think there's going to be any music playing? Because we did go to Mahogany Jazz Bar, which was really cool. Bourbon Street was a little disappointing to us because it was kind of not great music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if any of the bars over on Frenchman are going to be. Snug Harbor is a great place. I'm not sure if they're going to have anybody playing.
We went to the spot.
Yeah, that's a great place. One thing you realize, we're not used to this.
Right. That's why we shut down.
No, we realized that really quickly when we noticed that nobody had shovels to shovel the sidewalks or anything. No.
Thank you, Sue. So, y'all have a great trip back. I just wanted to get your perspective on that, and thanks for calling in. We appreciate it, okay?
And please don't judge us by your encounter with Tommy Tucker, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Jealousy is an ugly thing. Right. It really is. Jealousy is a horrible thing. Thank you, Sue, and to your husband. Y'all have a safe trip back. Nick Hunter joins us now, a friend mayor of Lake Charles. Nick, how you doing? Tell me about a blizzard warning in Lake Charles today. What was that like?
Hey, guys. Hey. Yeah, I did not even know that blizzard warnings were a thing, but I found it out this morning. And Lake Charles, for the first time in our history, like I assume, like y'all, we were in a blizzard warning. So it was a pretty unique and crazy experience.
Tell me what kind of snowfall you guys did get and how hard was the wind blowing?
You know, the National Weather Service said 4.5 inches, but man, I think they got the short end of the stick because I walked out a couple blocks with my kids. We went to the park, and I mean, literally, we were seeing 8 inches everywhere.
Wow.
And we had a lot of friends that set up some backyard snow meters or snow measuring tools, and everybody
around
me. They
put a stick in the
say,
ground, Nick, is what they did, right?
Yeah, man.
A ruler.
I mean,
yeah.
I think we got 8 inches over here. How many did y'all get?
I think about the same as what
probably
they're
about
saying.
The same, 8-9 inches. Yeah.
So what about tonight and tomorrow, streets open in Lake Charles? I'm just curious how the community handled it, and were y'all prepared for this, or did it completely surprise you?
No, we were prepared for it. And listen, I've got to give a lot of credit to the team here that has gotten through the storms of 2020 and 2021. And I'm going to give a pat on the back to this community, not only the people here, but also our utilities department with the City of Lake Charles, our water department. We invested a hell of a lot of money in our system after the 2020 and 2021 storms. And, man, our systems have held up. So I'm knocking on wood as I say this, but there's a lot of lessons that can be learned from natural disasters, and hurricanes and snowstorms are different, but there's a lot of things that are similar with keeping up a water system. And our water system, thank God, has held strong. But the roads, yeah, people don't know how to drive in snow. And Cajuns, we need to stay off the roads. We are not used to this. So roads have been another issue.
Nick, we were talking to Energy earlier, and I think they had 2,000 power outages. 1,000 of them were caused because somebody was driving and hit a pole.
Yeah, the majority of our, vast majority of our public safety calls are car accidents. And look, I don't want to guess here, but I don't want to guess.
I'll say it. Was it a really necessary trip or not? I'll say it for you because I'm.
Well, yeah, you said it. You said it. Not me, man. I would guess a lot of those people are just out wanting to see the snow. And look, I get it, but I walked a couple blocks down to the park with my kids and saw plenty of snow without getting in the vehicle.
That's the key word, walk around if you want to see it. Nick, we hadn't spoken in a while. You know, we spoke a lot after the hurricanes. What you just said intrigued me about the recovery after disaster and planning for the next one. So we're going to have you on in the morning one time to talk about it, all right?
I'd love to do it, and we've got to be thinking that way, man, because these disasters, they're continuing to happen. So we can't build back the way we were before the natural disaster. We've got to build back stronger for the next one.
And
that's
no doubt.
That's the first thing I thought of when I heard about blizzard warning. It's like, you got to be kidding me. After everything else, Lake Charles, that was a blizzard hitting them. What next? Locust? Thank you, Nick Hunter. Stay warm.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right,
we'll take a break. We come back. We're talking to Barry Keim, LSU climatologist. Do a recap of the snowfall, talk about low temperatures, formation of ice, and more. Newell Norman's here. I'm Tommy Tucker, back in a flash as our coverage continues of this extraordinary day on WWL. Newell Norman's here. I'm Tommy Tucker. And Newell, it's hard to believe it's just Tuesday night, isn't it?
Exactly.
I'm just sitting here realizing that, and it shocks me because it seems as though between talking about this and the planning for it, et cetera, and I can only imagine from the public official's standpoint or the meteorologist's standpoint. Barry Keim joins us now, our friend, LSU climatologist. How you doing, Barry?
I'm doing well. Something going on out there?
Just a little bit of snow, you know, that kind of stuff.
Barry, let me say congratulations, because y'all hit the bullseye on the prediction.
Yeah. The forecasting on this storm was spectacular. I mean, this goes back a week. I mean, and there were hints that something like this could happen even beyond a week. So, yeah, the forecasting was unbelievable. The models just keep getting better and better and better.
Yeah, why was that? Why was it because of the models? And at one point, did I see something, because it's been a long day, about hurricane hunters getting involved here or not?
I hadn't heard that specifically, that but, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Or yeah. Dreamed. I don't know. It's been a long day.
it's been a long day for all of us.
Yeah, why was it so accurate? I'm just curious about that. And does this portend anything for hurricane season or modeling or anything else?
Not particularly. I mean, you know, like I said, the forecasting just continues to improve, which is obviously a very good thing, which is amazing because our fundamental understanding of the atmosphere is really not that much greater now than it was almost 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. But having said that, the models are just getting bigger and more powerful. We have more data to feed into them. And that's just making the forecast more accurate. So, anyway, we're inching along with our understanding as well. But again, our fundamental understanding is not that different from 100 years ago.
For it to snow here, because it is so rare, there has to be a unique confluence of events, does there not? And talk about that in the context of how much snow we received, if you would, Barry.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, we need cold temperatures. It's hard to get temperatures that cold to settle in over the southern part of Louisiana, and then to get enough moisture to, you know, sort of come out of the Gulf of Mexico, climb up and over that cold, cold air at the surface, and give us enough, you know, precipitation to create the snow. So all these ingredients came together, just like it did, by the way, in 1895, when we had the mother of all snow events across the Gulf Coast. We'll talk about that in a minute. And it all came together again. I mean, it doesn't happen that often, but, you know, occasionally it does. Mother Nature, you know, puts it all in place, and bang, we'll get a big event like this. So in this particular event, we basically set records, you know, from about Beaumont to Pensacola, you know, all along that I-10, I-12 corridor. We had the biggest snow totals that we've ever seen since 1895. And then here in New Orleans, I would argue the snow totals rival 1895. So what we had here across New Orleans, as best I can piece together, is totals around 8 inches or so. I mean, I recorded 7.5 inches here in Old Metairie. I've seen some numbers as big as 9 inches in the metro area. The New Orleans airport came in with 8. So we're looking at something between 7.5 and 9 across this region. Now, back in 1895, we had I have some pictures. In fact, if you Google it, you can find these pictures easily on the web, with Canal Street draped in about 8 inches of snow, and I believe we had 10 inches at Audubon in that particular event. So these numbers are kind of on par, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some even bigger numbers once we add it all up and you know, get all the reports tomorrow. We'll have a better assessment of just how big some of those snow totals actually did get.
Barry, today's storm was shorter duration than in 1895, though, right?
Well, you know, I don't really know the answer to that, because that 1895 was kind of spanned over 2 days, but I don't know if that's like two what we call observational days, where you know, we measure the data at a specific time. And so those totals were over 2 days. This did come in on pretty short order, I will say that, and it's very likely this was a quicker, you know, storm and put more snow on the ground in a shorter period of time.
I'm looking at the pictures right now, and I spent a lot of time walking along Porter Street today. I didn't get the canal, but I got to tell you, from what I'm looking at and from what I saw today, it looks pretty similar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So you obviously saw some of those pictures. And what makes this a really unique event is that it's going to hang around for a – I mean, it was unique with the amounts, obviously. Mm-hmm. But this snow is going to hang around a while. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the temperatures forecast for tomorrow morning, but it's insane. And let me just give you a little taste of this, okay? So tomorrow morning in New Orleans, we're going to go down to 21. That's a pretty chilly day in New Orleans. But other places are going to get even colder. I'll just go from west to east, from west to east across Louisiana. Lake Charles, 13 for tomorrow morning. Lafayette, 9. Baton Rouge, 11. going further south of New Orleans, Thibodeau, 12, Houma, 14, Bobby Hebert's cutoff, Louisiana, 17. It's going to be crazy. And obviously this is going to preserve the snowpack, and it's going to, you know, it's going to hang around for a few days. I mean, normally we get a snow event, it's a couple of inches, and it lasts 2 or 3 hours. Well, here, you know, we have, you know, pushing a foot, and it's going to hang around for several days, and because, you know, we have enough cold temperatures out there to preserve it.
Several days?
Yeah. Oh, several days. Yeah, this will be here all day tomorrow. We're barely going to make it above freezing here in New Orleans tomorrow. And tomorrow's Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we start seeing a little bit of a warming trend. We get into Thursday, we'll probably get above freezing for a few hours. We'll get a little bit of melt, but I don't think we're going to really start seeing any serious melting until Friday. And even then, it's not going to be enough to polish off the amount of snowpack that we have. We're looking at this probably hanging around through the weekend.
So are you talking about yards or streets, just to be clear?
Both.
Well, that'll be mostly in yards. I mean, the streets, you know, they store heat a little bit better. And, of course, I mean, I know we have a little bit of plowing going on. People are going to start getting restless and driving their cars over it, you know, and all the pressure from the weight of the cars helps them melt the snow a little bit. So, it'll be gone in the streets first, obviously, but it's going to hang around lawns for several days.
So kids will be able to play in it tomorrow. Tell me what tomorrow is going to look like, basically. A lot of sunshine, very cold, no precipitation, and maybe some melting on the streets a little bit?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I mean, brutally cold, though. I mean, be careful with the kids sending them out, especially in the morning. I mean, it's just going to be blistering cold. I mean, this is cold like we don't normally see here in South Louisiana and New Orleans. So, take care of those kids, and if you do send them out, I mean, bundle them up and don't leave them out for very long. You probably want to wait till the afternoon to where it gets close to the freezing point, because otherwise, you know, if you're in New Orleans, you could be looking at temperatures in the low 20s, and again, if you're elsewhere, you know, for even points further south, it could be down in the teens. So this is going to be a pretty tough morning, and I would wait till the afternoon. In fact, be perfectly frank, I might even wait till Thursday to start getting serious about getting out there and playing in this stuff.
Wow. You know, and I think as you say that, Newell, and I'm thinking, Barry, that because my mind is conditioned to, as you said, when it snows, you got a couple hours to play in it, and then it all clears out. Everybody should get ready because this is not going to clear out tomorrow or maybe even into Thursday, right?
Exactly. You have plenty of time. There's no rush. And, you don't want to brutalize yourself or anybody else in these frigid temperatures. Tomorrow is going to be really cold. And then it'll gradually warm up, you know, with each day in succession. But it really doesn't get seriously warm, you know, like above freezing warm till Friday and into the weekend. By Sunday, we're actually looking at temperatures in the afternoon in the mid-60s. So we'll see some serious melt going on by then.
And that means a mess. Thank you, Barry. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, no problem.
Barry Keim, LSU climatologist. Yep. And boy, you look at some of these totals here. I think the National Weather Service, I think they are going to revise some of these totals that they're talking about, 5 to 6 inches, because what I saw was a lot more than that on Poitras.
Yeah, and in Old Metairie as well. I mean, I think we probably had 8 to 9 inches there.
So we'll see. We'll take a break, come back. Coverage continues here on WWL.